Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I am Ben Mandelker and joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How's everything going with you?
It's fabulous. We're really excited because today is the season finale of The Valley episode that we're talking about. So we're about to dive right into that. Join us on Monday, Amazon Live. We always are there every Monday talking about the stuff that we've found lately and why you should also find it in your lives. So go check that out. And patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens for video bonus episodes, Roni trailer. We covered it this week. Ad-free listening newsletter. It's really just a cornucopia of delights over there. So go check that out. Without further delay or ado, let's get into this. The Valley season 3, episode 18, The Valley of the Damned. That's the name of the episode. And based on the reunion looks, the answer is yes. This cast was definitely damned. By the way, we talked extensively about the reunion looks of The Valley on this week's Crappy Hour. Go check that out on your feed. We do that every other week. So if you want to hear us weigh in expertly on some of the, I would say the hits and misses. I would say more like the miss and misses. Go check that out.
Yeah. You know, this show's not really known for its fashions or styling. It's called The Valley, you know?
Yeah.
The only reason they called it The Valley was because copyright wise, they couldn't call it The Rayon. And that's just how this show rolls, you know?
Yeah.
And we're not even fashion gays, as we've said a million times. So for it to stand out to us, that's really bad. But God bless their hearts, you know?
Poor Brittany. I mean, so much has been said about that. I still want to draw attention to the fact that what's-his-face Jesse doing the sneakers with the suit look. I'm so sick of that. Like the straight middle-aged straight guys thinking they're so clever by wearing a sneaker with a suit. It's like, oh wow, did you just invent that? You're really on top of it. Anyway, as I sit here in my cheap t-shirt and gym shorts, but that's my right. It's my own inherent style and fashion. So we see previously everything that happened this season, which is pain, sadness, fighting,
emotional abuse,
misery. torn MCL, ACL.
God, being with absolutely the wrong person, despite the entire world telling you, no, Brittany, don't do it. And that goes for pretty much all of you at this point, I think. I maybe except Janet and Jason. I wouldn't say Janet and Jason or Benji and Zach. Well, I guess Jasmine and Melissa. There are just such big ones that get you this year. Danny and Nia. Kristen. The big fails this year are big enough that we should all be warned.
I know. It seems like it was forever ago that Brittany was going down the red flag path of Brandon, her boyfriend. And that came and went so quickly. It just feels like it's like, was that a different season? Because I just feel like so much has happened since then. I mean, it also is because the season has not really ever ended. But here we are. And we're at Kristen and Luke's house for what's going to be a very cheerful and happy scene that is going to put a hopeful bow on their very tumultuous season-long storyline. Just kidding. It's going to just plunge them deeper and darker and have us sending out a life raft for Kristen to get out of this relationship before it's too late.
Even as she sits there and smiles psychopathically, trying to make it all okay in art. She's like, look, we're going to have a really cute scene. Just us packing the baby in the car or whatever they're doing. And the baby throws its pacifier on the ground and Kristen picks it up and what kind of wipes it on her shirt and then just starts sucking on it, I guess, to clear whatever was on the ground. I guess she figures like you neutralize it with mom spit. Listen, what was that?
Or maybe she just wanted a snack. Let's not forget that this is someone who plucked a flower from a highway divider and chewed on it during Vanderpump Rules on a cast trip. So she's not afraid. But yeah, she's sort of cleaning the pacifier for the baby. And then I guess
when it's your own spit, it's okay. And it's like that baby's already covered in her stuff anyway. It came out of her. So they've got the same spit, I would guess. But man,
It'll babies. Be okay for the baby.
Stop throwing okay your goddamn pacifiers. I was just spending time with one of my besties and her baby. It's the cutest baby in the world. And this baby, when I tell you, the projectile, every pacifier is a projectile. It's like, suck it for 2 seconds, throw it on the ground. So I go pick up the pacifier. She gets another pacifier. Then she throws that one on the ground. So I keep going back and washing the pacifiers off. And at some point, her mom was like, oh, it's just a little hair. Because I was like, oh, this one still has like a little hair from the ground. And she's like, oh, it's fine. Just give it. It's protein.
They need to like build up their immune systems. Babies just love that. Their favorite game, just throw things on the ground. Drives me nuts. Like I feel like
we get together, babies.
Yeah,
get some couth.
I know, seriously. Just like you don't have to play with it, just put it down in a place where I don't have to bend over every 5 seconds to pick it up. Thank you.
They're so little and so cute, and at some point it's like, oh, you drop your pacifier. Oh, here's your pacifier. Cleaned it. Uncle cleaned it. Oh, dropped it again. Okay. Uncle cleaned it. Oh, dropped it. Okay. Drop. Uncle clean. Are you fucking with me? Are you fucking with me now, baby?
I know. Like, I need like a bowling alley return. Like when the kids throw it down, I need it to like land on some sort of thing that's gonna gather it and sort of just like bring it automatically back up to the table, because it's just like, how many times can you bend over? I say this as someone who's had to do it like 3 times in my life. I didn't have a baby. But I watch it and I feel for all those moms and dads who are just sitting there just picking up the pacifier or the spoon or whatever toy. Over and over again.
Because the babies don't know words yet, and there's only so many ways to say fuck you. You know, they're like, okay, well, I've already pooped myself today. They had to clean it up. That was hilarious. Peed in mom's face when she changed my diaper again. That was pretty hilarious. Other than really spitting up on her, what can I just do to say fuck? Oh, whoops, dropped a pacifier. Oh, whoops.
Babies are officially diabolical. Before we get into the miserable Kristen and Luke scene, we then go over to Brittany and Cruz, who are trick-or-treating with Janet and Jason. And it's sort of cute because Janet's like kind of pushing a baby in a stroller, but also pushing Jason in like a little chair, a little wheelchair, because his leg is messed up. So there, Janet's like, so do you feel ready for tomorrow? Do you need any help with anything? This is probably the first adult Halloween I've been to in like 5 years, probably. And Jason's like, yeah, I mean, since we lived in the valley. And Brittany's like, yeah, it's going to be the best one. I can't wait. It's going to be so cool. I mean, cool, cool Halloween. Cool guy. You're a cool guy. I'm going to put sunglasses on my house. Cool guy.
So then we go to La Rochelle, where Lala is meeting Mia for coffee. Okay, this is why this show does not need to be 18 episodes. Right here. This scene right here. These people don't like each other. Lala barely clocks in to come to work at this point. They don't need to be sitting with each other. No one's making up here. They didn't like each other from the beginning. But I'll go ahead with it. And Lala is clearly... Lala's eyes through this whole scene are hilarious, just watching Mia, because... She's basically like, hey, okay, I came to meet you. What do you want from me? And Nia's like, well, you know, hold on. I'm going to feed the baby. Hold on. I just wanted to say that, you know, like I didn't want things to be bad with you because like we don't really know each other. But the reason that maybe I get defensive of Daniel is. And then the soft piano music starts playing. And she's like, trauma. I had trauma growing up. My mom and I went through a lot of stuff. And Lala's like, you know, you just see her in her face like, okay, bitch, now I can't even argue with you because you brought up traumas. Okay, I'll just sit here and do nothing.
Lala has her girl cop face on. She's like, her eyes are narrowed. She's nodding. She's being supportive of like Nia telling her story. Shelters, you know, dropping buzzwords, you know. Shelters, growing up shelters, divorce, all those things. Buzzwords is so reductive. I didn't mean it like that, but meaning that like the things that normally pop up in these reality show traumatic backstories. And Lala's just watching with like her eyes are like narrow. She's like, Where were you the night of April 16th, 1997? Because this is going to inform a lot of what I say next at La Rochelle. You know, she just is like, she's like taking it all in, but she's building a case in her head that she's like ready to use when the time comes.
Yeah. I mean, her eyes are saying, and how does any of this explain you letting a man talk to you like shit and everyone around him like shit and being fall down drunk everywhere we go? And don't you think it's sad that you have to intervene for a drunk idiot? Like, aren't you embarrassed? Like, you see it all on Lala's face, but she's not saying it because Nia is leading with, I have a newborn who's currently being fed on my breast and I have trauma. And Lala's like, okay, you know what? You can have it. She's doing enjoy this latte. Card. Yeah, you're off on this one, but we're still watching you. I'm still patrolling your street, ma'am.
Yeah. I mean, there is some insight. I mean, Nia basically says she was so desperate to start a stable family and have like a happy family she didn't have growing up that she was like, she's literally wrote it down on like a vision board or a journal when she was 13. So yeah, it makes sense why she looks the other way or puts up with some of this bullshit because she cares more about this idea of this, of like this perfect family than she does the fact that she has married like a little troll doll. And so, you know, that's why she has to put up with it, because if she doesn't put up with it, she is forfeiting her life's dream. And that is so sad, but she really is doing that.
Yeah. And there's also that we have four children. Like, I can't, you know, I can't just leave, you know, and I get all that. I just was cracking up at Lala's face because Lala's like, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Enjoy your latte. Lala's... I did what the producers wanted and now I'm going home. Okay.
Yeah. Lala was just barely tolerating this entire scene. And she's basically like, yeah, they're a package deal. So I don't know if I can ever become friends with Nia because I don't like him. He doesn't like me. So this is probably where it all ends. Now we go to Kristen and Luke's house and they're putting the baby down with like Alondra, who's in the other room, who's taking care of the baby at the moment, and the nanny. And so they're, Luke and Kristen are talking about their therapist. And Kristen's like, I could tell you weren't super vibey with her. And we have a flashback to when Luke was like, yeah, when I got down on one knee, I hadn't met pregnant Kristen yet. And Kristen and the therapist were both like, whoa. And then, of course, he was like mad at the therapist for having a reaction to his completely asshole comment.
Yeah, one thing Luke is not going to like is being called out by a woman. That's for sure. He did not like that. But I loved the flashback of the therapist who clearly also hates Luke's ass. You know, it's like, oh, boo. If she could have had one of those things they use in sports whenever they, what is it, like an air horn, whenever they miss a point or something, they're like, boo.
That would have been great. She also kind of reminded me of Alice, the witch on House of the Dragon. So I feel like, don't fuck with that therapist. So then Luke is like, I feel like she didn't listen and was just like trying to like, let's see if we can find a closet or a door he locked shut and pull that out. That's how I genuinely felt because like, you know, we've moved past all these things. And then she's like, well, how do you move past these things? And how do you feel back then? And this, and he's like, but this was a year ago. Basically the therapist was like, tell me about your relationship. What fights did you have? How did you get past those fights? What was happening in them? You know, the questions that a therapist would ask to find out what's going on in your life and understand your motivations and have you also look into your motivations and how you behave and look at patterns and really all the textbook therapist stuff. And he's like, I didn't like that she asked me questions about a fight that we've already gotten over. I'm like, did you get over that stuff a year ago? Because I'm watching you guys on TV and you're two miserable sacks of shit right now. So I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, and you were just saying last week on your vacation, like, yeah, well, I wouldn't marry you. And you were also crying on that vacation in the hallway trying to get all of her friends to come to your side. You were he's just so immature. And Kristen's not the most mature either. But this guy cannot stop just stepping in shit and then being like, yeah, I didn't vibe with the therapist because she wasn't on my side. And like, and then I have to stand up for myself again. Would you bring up, you know, he's accusing Kristen of basically manipulating it by bringing up old stuff and making him look bad. Like, this guy, don't do it. Don't do it, Brittany.
Yeah, I mean, I had to break it to you. You're on reality TV. The old stuff is going to haunt you for at least 10, if not 20 years. I mean, we literally watched a fight from season 3 of Orange County dominate the entire last season of Orange County in season 19. So, like, the stuff in the past never really goes away, Luke. So get used to it. So Kristen is like, well, you know, Luke is a stubborn mother effer. And I know that he and I really like to have to take time to focus on us because like right now, it's like we're competing in the Misery Olympics. Like, who's more hurt? I was like, that is fair. You guys are definitely in the Misery Olympics. And I think you guys are doing the pentathlon. Like, there's a lot of events happening. A lot of hurdles and things and jumping and running. And it's exhausting.
And he's like, yeah, but, you know, then you guys want me to talk, but then I say things and then, you know, then I have to feel hurt because I hurt your feelings. And she's like, yeah, when you said that thing about pregnant Kristen, yeah, like my jaw definitely hit the my jaw hit the floor. Okay. And
my jaw,
that was rough, but it's not like I was sad about it. You know, I just don't get why you'd want me to get pregnant again if like you hate my pregnant self. And she's trying to smile. You know, she's doing that like, this is a very fine shoulder conversation, Luke. Yeah. And he's like, well, let's just get it out of the way so we can just get that out of the way and get like miserable Kristen over with. And then we won't have to deal with it anymore. It's like, we want two kids, so let's just have them and I'll just deal with you being miserable for another however long. And then Luke.
It's so obnoxious. It's so
God, it's horrible. So
pregnant Kristen is still Kristen. Okay. And it's like, she also has to deal with, like whatever you would call a like pregnancy adjacent Luke, you know, like it's so terrible. It's one thing if you're like, it's pregnancies are so stressful. I would love to do them, get them all done now. So that way we can actually move past all the torture of like what happened, like the strain that it puts on us. I would love to move through it. And then that way we can be done with it and we don't have to deal with it. But to be like pregnant, cuckoo, crazy Kristen, it's so condescending and obnoxious. And that's like, you're supposed to be your partner in life. Oh my God. Red flags everywhere.
And also it's, oh, wow. Okay. So you're going to have another baby and then Kristen's going to be dealing with two children while you are like sleeping all day because you're hungover from going out or saying you want to go fish instead of helping with the children. That's not just a thing that happens because there's a newborn. That's going to be annoying to your partner all through childhood.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a point where Kristen's like, wow, the kids are 2 years old. Yeah, go get shit-faced with all the guys from the TV show and then come back hungover and sleep all day instead of helping out with anything. That's not going to magically go away, you idiot.
And he keeps on like laughing and he's thinking he's making these hilarious jokes. He's like, yeah, let's like lock up pregnant Kristen in the coffin, like get her second baby and then we're going to put her in the coffin and never see her again. I'm just like, and she has to like laugh it off, like, ha ha ha. But I'm like, I just think it's so hurtful. Like, all that does is embarrass her. I mean, look, Kristen, as we've mentioned many times, is no angel. She has been a terror to everyone on Bravo for 14, 15 years at this point. But it's one thing for her to be a reality star and crazy to her coworkers. But like to your life partner, you don't say that. Like, it's just so unsupportive. It is so mean. And then like, and then you wonder why she feels insecure about this whole situation.
Yeah. And she's trying to do the crazy smile like, Lucas, I'm never going to have sex with you again if you keep talking. That's not nice. And he's like, what? One more baby. Like, let's just get it over with.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
This guy, who, by the way, keeps saying over and over, I'm not going anywhere. Why are you so paranoid? You're acting like I'm leaving you. And then he says to the camera, yeah, I want her to be my teammate. I'm fighting for us, but I don't know if we're painting the same picture anymore. Okay, then just go, Luke.
Van Gogh.
For fuck's sake. Yeah.
It's not called Van's Day. It's called Van Gogh. So please.
Yeah, so just Kristen's stop wasting like, time. On one hand, you're asking for another baby while you're saying that while you're hinting over and over again that you're probably just going to leave anyway. So fuck off.
Kristen's like, I just hope we can get to a better place. And she's like, I sacrificed my mind, my body, so I could get pregnant, carry a child, and go through postpartum. He's like,
why are we even talking about this again? I've never been in a darker place in my life than during that time.
God. Sorry, Luke. Sorry. I know your body about you so much during this. I'm so sorry. Now we go to Michelle's house. and she's playing with Ilza Biela, and her friend Natalie comes over. Natalie, who she tried to hook up with Schwartz earlier this season. So Natalie's like, hi, you want to give me a hug, Isabella? You want to give me a hug? Can I smell the markers? These markers are really nice. Whoa. So they're just like talking.
That's me, says, crazy Natalie. Look, do you want the pink marker or the red marker? Wait a minute, they're both pink. What am I, nuts?
Crazy. So Michelle says, I feel like now that everything is behind me, now my divorce is over, I can move forward. He can move forward. Like, we are in a great place. So it's like the end of a chapter, beginning of a new book. And what is this book gonna look like?
Yeah, so they're making basically small talk about, it's like a season finale scene. It's like, okay, what are your goals for the next year? I want to sell $50 million worth of real estate. And Natalie's like, wow, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you for having that goal. And Michelle tells us she feels like a boss. She feels like a boss now. So then we find out that Isabella has been saving all of her money so she can go buy Tiny Labubus, and she saved up $100. And that's actually impressive when your dad is Jesse. Have you counted that money recently? Because he's probably taken it and spent it.
Except the thing is that Isabella learned from Jesse, which is that Isabella was not saving the money. She's just been stealing Michelle's cash and putting it in a piggy bank at Jesse's house. So she learned everything from daddy. And daddy probably told her.
Like, her piggy bank is only a loan that I did not know about for 300,000 Labubus. Damn it.
So now we go to Beverly Baby's concierge care. And Jesse and Lacey are there because she needs to check on her ovaries. And Lacey, they sit down, and this lady's like, hello, Jesse and Lacey, can I get you anything? He's like, can I get like a gin and tonic or something? She's like, what? That's crazy. We make babies here, so there's no champagne, because you asked for champagne and we don't have that here. Jesse.
Yeah, so this is Lacey getting her eggs frozen. And checking on her. She wants to get her eggs frozen because
endometriosis first.
Yeah, she had endometriosis, and so she's doing that. And just the doctor's like, so he's a very LA, very cute doctor with like perfect fillers and Botox. It's just so stressful. Like, you're too cute. Could you just be homelier while we talk about my personal health? You're too hot. Like, I can't stop staring in your eyes. So he's going through the whole thing with them. And he's asking if they want to do embryos or just eggs. And she's like, yeah, you heard his joke about like getting champagne. Yeah, just the eggs. Thanks.
Yeah. So they're going to look to see how her ovaries are doing. And, you know, Jesse is saying that he wants to seed the world. He's like, I want to seed the world. You know what I mean? And she's like, ew, Jesse. So they look, and her ovaries, one ovary is doing amazingly. And then she has the bad ovary, and she goes and she looks. And there was concern that she would have to actually remove that ovary, but the endometriosis has subsided quite a bit. And so she can keep it.
Yeah. And Jesse's like, well, hopefully one day we get married and Isabella can be a flower girl. And Lacey's like, well, my dream is like what we're doing right now, you know? So like, he's probably saying something romantic and I'm going to look like a jerk, but he's not getting into my house. So that's the end of that.
So the good news is there will be eggs to freeze. Now we go back to Kristen and Luke's house in North Hollywood, and they're getting ready for Brittany's Halloween party. And while they're getting ready, Danny and Nia are there, and Danny is he is inhabiting the character of Count Bukula, and whoever sent Danny down the acting path in childhood, I think we need to have a stern talk with them because it's too much.
Do better. What has happened to the drama teachers in this country? That's my question. Ow. It's like, hello, it is me, Camp Bukula. Ooh, I am going to suck your blood.
And by blood, I mean blood orange mojito, please. Three of them. Stat, thank you very much.
I hope there are some humans on the menu tonight.
I hope that there are some Stella Adler passes on the menu tonight. Okay.
I actually want him to get wasted as soon as possible so that way he can pass out and shut up.
Yes.
He is like literally the worst. And like, it's not so much that he is dressed up like a Dracula and he's called himself Count Bukula. It's that he stays in that character. Like, he does not get out of the character. He just stays in it and he just assumes everyone gets the joke and likes the joke. And he just says it to strangers, to bartenders. I have a friend who's like this actually. And he'll like put on an accent. Like, if we're playing a board game, he puts on an accent. Like, let's say the board game takes place in Ireland. He puts on an accent. And then he just stays in that accent for like 2 hours straight. And you're like, can you please stop? No one is laughing anymore. I say this as someone who does a very shitty Irish accent on Below Deck and all these shows literally every week for hours on end. I get it.
It must be so difficult having a friend who just won't stop talking and stupid voices every time you get together.
What's up with people who are always breaking into different accents and voices nonstop when no one even asks for it and the context doesn't even make sense?
As we walk through our life being like,
well, I never. How dare you?
But you know what it is with Danny? It's almost like he's asking you to like participate in the accent too. Like, you have to like talk to him like he's in character. So it's one thing to do an accent. It's another to like force people into your stupid ass failed actor role playing.
Yeah, he is the worst, and it never stops the whole episode. And at one point they do the whole montage of like Danny's wacky characters. Remember when he was the cowboy and he's like, wow, we better round him up, my little cowpoke.
That's hilarious.
It's literal torture. Yeah. So then we go to Jana and Jason's house. And Michelle and Tom and Lala are pre-partying there. And Tom is like, okay, the hottest person that you've ever had a crush on, the person that's like consumed your mind, body, and soul, who is that? Okay, they've had painstaking diarrhea. They poop every day. Why is he even, what is this scenario that he's even concocting at the top of this scene right now?
I think he's just trying to say like the great equalizer in hotness is that everybody poops, I think. But they came in on the middle of the conversation. It's like, why am I watching this show? And Michelle's like, I don't know how I'm going to dig you seriously with a lisp. Okay, don't say gay or whatever, Michelle. But yeah, she's saying because he has vampire teeth in. And they're like laughing about his feet or his teeth. And then how Jason still looks sexy in his crutches and stuff. And Lala's like, oh my God, can you guys even have sex? Like, have you, like, if Janet was on top, you could have sex, right? And he's like, well, I mean, my equipment's not injured, so we could have sex.
Well, have you had sex?
And Janet's like, no, 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 it's not worth the risk.
Mm-mm. And she's like, but can you receive blowjobs? He's like, yeah. Hey, you need to give him a blowjob, Janet. And he's like, yeah, I mean, that's what I've been saying. Huh? And she's like, you guys, I hate doing that. It's like, you're being stingy. Well, I'm sure he doesn't love trying to find your vagina, but he does it. So then we go over to...
Is it hard finding a vagina? I haven't gone looking lately, so I'm just asking anybody out there who would know.
Jason's like, ah, damn it. Wound up at the armpit again. Okay, let's start over.
Damn it, Danny, you threw my shoulder out again. Dislocated my shoulder. Oh, okay. That's Bedos. let's go to Jesse, Lacey, Zach, and Benji. Jasmine, they're all riding together to the party. And Jesse's joking, oh, we're almost to Jax's house. Like, yeah, that's not funny, Jesse.
Zach's like, you know what? I'll give you back your douchebag title. I knew he was still in there. So now people are arriving and Michelle's saying, it is my birthday at midnight. I'm gonna turn 37. And so they're like, oh my God, like whatever. Like, Lala, you have to kiss her on her birthday, whatever. And Lala's like, well, what kind of kisser are you? Are you like really mouthy? She's like, No, I'm not trying to get my tongue in there. I just thought a little peck is what I deserve for my birthday. So we get to Brittany's house, and Brittany's setting things up, and it's a pretty elaborate Halloween party, I have to say. She did a pretty good job with this one.
I'm a party planner now. Don't you know it's the best party I've thrown in my life? Yeah.
So everyone shows up. Danny is like, hi, guess what? My name is Count Bukula. Ha, ha, ha. Look, listen, don't I sound like I'm from Transylvania? Let's go.
So everybody hates Danny. And he's just going up to everyone like, wow, it's a me, Count Bukula. Ooh. And they're like, ugh. Hello, Danny. And finally get someone to play with him, who is Jesse. And he's like, I will do the accent as well. And so he plays along with him for a little while. Just don't answer the door. I would just say no soliciting. Okay. Did you read the sign? Go away. Shoo.
Yeah. we actually have an exclusive photo of Jesse in his costume. Let me, I'm just getting it ready for us. This was, someone sent this to me of him in his vampire costume that was taken. And I don't think he was aware that the camera was on. So let me just put it up on the screen. It's 1 second. We're getting it ready. This is if you're watching Crap is on Demand. I highly recommend. So you can get these visuals. Here is Danny. There it is. Oh my God. Danny's little costume. It turns out that Danny is Jonathan Lipnicki starring in The Little Vampire. That's the energy he's bringing to this episode.
Poor Jonathan Lipnicki. What did he ever do?
Danny walking around in his little cape, being like, I'm a vampire. I was like, this is The Little Vampire, the sequel. This is a reboot of The Little Vampire.
A delightful adventure. I love the review on the movie poster. It's .. a delightful adventure .. Because you know that review was like, I mean, listen, I saw Pirates of the Caribbean and that was a delightful adventure, but this one was a piece of shit. Cancel Jonathan Lipnicki. Who needs a child killing people by sucking their bloods out? And why are there flying cows in the background of this poster? Fuck this movie.
Honestly, fuck this movie. And I love that pull quote is from the New York Times. Lawrence Van Gelder for the New York Times. Lawrence Van Gelder, I guarantee, got fired after that. But I also guarantee that the full sentence was not a delightful adventure. It was probably, this is not a delightful adventure.
Yeah.
I will look up
this. So, Lacey's like, well, when Danny and Jesse are doing their accent, as far as being the least sexiest thing I've ever seen... No, I have seen Jesse in his saggy underwear.
And then we get a flashback to that. I love that the show goes out of its way to include that shot, you know. They'll be like, do you want a coffee? How can I have a coffee when all I can think about is Jesse's underwear? And they just show a shot of Jesse in his saggy underwear again.
Yeah, they're like, hey, let's put up our favorite shot. Okay, no, that's Jack's getting Reiki. It's the other one. It's poor Jesse. He's like in the middle of a pile. But yeah, they do. And those underwear still are disturbing to this day.
They really are.
Very gray.
Gray.
And
like
non-fitting.
Saggy.
Michelle and Janet and Lala are chatting. And Michelle is like, wow, everybody thinks it is Halloween. But inside of my head, I'm like, Abby birthday do me, am I right? And so they're like, wow, cheers to your birthday. So then Lala.
Essential crisis.
Yeah. I have to share with Halloween.
I am celebrating a different holiday today. It is hard for me.
Bozdal Workers Day. Very difficult for it not to be recognized. So Lala's like, we were talking to Kristen, and Brittany and I were at her photo shoot, and Kristen shared text messages. And then we see a flashback to Kristen being like, yeah, Zach texted me today, and he said I should go to the Halloween party and be like, stay away from my bestie, bitch. That's what he wants me to say to Janet, your Halloween party. Kristen just getting messy and throwing all of her allies under the bus, really for no reason, at Brittany's photo shoot.
Yeah. And Lala's like, so we were like, see, like, this is the thing. Like, when he's around Janet, he's like very friendly. And Janet's like, yeah. And then he's acting like we're moving forward. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm feeling like you're making it so he feels like he can't move forward with Janet. And she goes, I never make him feel that way. I do not guilt trip him. If anything, Nia does.
Yeah. So here we are with our fight over, like, who's being nice to who? Who's supposed to be on whose team? Like, whose team even is Zach on? Zach told you guys at the Chili's where he shit himself that he unfollowed Janet because he wasn't there yet. Like, what are you guys confused about? You're acting like he's calling Janet every day and pretending that they're best friends. He's not. He's trying to get along and go along for the sake of the show. Okay?
Yeah. But they're saying he unfollowed Janet because Kristen and Nia are sort of applying sort of subtle or unsubtle pressure on him to, like, not welcome her back into his life. And they, and
but he only followed Janet because it was a bet in the first place. Right. He didn't want to refollow Janet. He only refollowed Janet because the group pressured him into doing it in a bet. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know if Zach is a huge fan of Janet. I'm not getting that sense based off of really everything. So Lala is like, Zach is what my dad calls a fart in the wind. You can call it flip-flopping. You know, he goes wherever the wind takes him. I don't think it's intentional, though. I think whoever he's with in the moment, that's his best friend.
Yeah, I think it's called being nice to people you don't like.
Getting along, even being friendly, pleasant.
Yeah,
that's the thing. On reality, you have... Yeah, on reality TV, like, you're forced to have, like, extreme stances on the people that you're around. But in real life, if there's someone that you're like, not a huge fan of them, but, like, whatever, we could be nice at a party. We can just, like, chit-chat. It's fine. I wouldn't, like, hang out with them beyond that. But, like, on reality TV, it's like, how could you talk to someone that you're lukewarm about? You're fake.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Are you recording?
I am recording.
I'm not. Because okay. I forgot to press record. Okay, for Christ's sake. Okay, so then Brittany comes up to join the convo, and Janet's like, we need you here to clear this up. This is huge. This is huge tea, everybody. So Lala's like, yeah, I was telling him about your photo shoot and the Zach text messages. And Janet's like, yeah, I'm just so confused. I'm just putting so much effort into making this work. And then to find out these people are talking shit about me behind my... So Janet, they don't like you, and you don't like them either. Okay?
Yeah.
And you are making the effort for TV. And so is Zach. Why need to start it? This is just so stupid. You guys grow up.
I think this sort of, like, fight over Zach's loyalty is a little low stakes after some of the other stuff we've seen this season. It just feels like, okay, the last sort of aftershocks and tremors from Mexico, we'll just sort of cobble this together to be our season finale. So Brittany is like, so Zach comes over and Janet's like, okay, Zach, I want to talk about, I'm hearing that even though you and I have, like, you know, we've got to a place where we're, like, moving forward and trying to be positive with everything. And he's like, well, yeah, like, I mean, Chili's was, like, a bit of an issue. She's like, yeah, well, Brittany had a photo shoot. And then Kristen and Lala, I guess Kristen said that you're still talking shit about me and that you can't be friends with me. And I guess Kristen's throwing you under the bus to try to make you and I not be friends. So is that true?
Lala's like, it doesn't just sound like it. She did. That's what she did. And Zach's like, yeah, number one, if Kristen lied and said Zach did have fun, I'd be like, why would you say that? I did not have fun. But you are plotting and trying to make it look like Kristen's throwing me under the bus. Now, that's interesting. And so he tells them, are we talking specifically after Chili's? Because there was, I don't know if I told you, but I was gone for 30 minutes because I wasn't only pooping. I pooped myself. I sharted. Like, what? That has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, he's like, okay, if this is a way to sort of stop this conversation, I just want to say I shat my pants. My underpants, they are gone. The underpants are in the trash. So Jan's like, okay, so you shat yourself. Hmm. He's like, yeah, that's why I was gone for so long. It's like, okay. But Jan's like, but you're not going to get out of this for shitting. So then Janet's basically like, Zach literally can't keep this shit in himself. He's talking shit like maybe, like, you should try being less full of shit and then it just won't pop out unexpectedly. So then they're like, are we moving forward? Are we not moving forward? It's like baby steps. What's going on? And Zach is like, you get to have, like, three of your best friends, but I can't even have, like, Kristen over here right now. Do you understand? It's like, I need to have backup for this fight. She's like, fine, bring Kristen over.
Yeah, well, it is like three of them. Like, we need to have a talk, Zach. Whose side are you on, Zach? So then Jesse comes over and he's like, you've got me now. And John's like, oh, fuck off, Jesse. He's like, what are you going to say? All of a sudden, Janet takes accountability out of nowhere. Where's this even coming from, Jesse? Go away.
Yeah.
Good God. Then she just can Janet just have her moment to be annoying? We don't need you to.
Yeah. So then Janet leaves. Like, no, Janet, don't. This is what she always does. She always leaves. She's like, I am so done with Zach right now. Zach just needs to own his shit. And if you don't like me, then don't come to lunch. Don't do anything with me. But the thing is, Zach secretly likes me. And he just is struggling with that because Nia and Kristen won't allow him to like me.
Yeah, Kristen won't allow. Yeah, okay. Zach does not like you. Okay, this is not, Kristen is a damn liar for what she did. See, that's another, here we are on the valley again, where if you stand, you can't stand up for anybody because everybody's wrong all the time. Look, what do you even do? You know, I need a stronger sense of like who's right and who's wrong because this makes me crazy. Kristen's an asshole for lying, blah, 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 blah. Kristen will get hers later, I guess. But Zach does not like you. Where are you getting that from? So Jesse now comes in and tries to start shit. So they just leave, which is good because who needs to fight? Jesse, it's none of your fucking business. So he's like, okay, so one woman left, so I'll just go for another one. It's Michelle. Michelle, you're up.
Yeah. He's like, so it's come to my attention that for the last 3 months, you've actually been secretly dating a comedian. She's like, it's my client. Well, because you asked me to watch Isabella an extra weekend to go to Vegas for quote unquote work. And then I've been sent videos of you guys dancing in bathing suits together. Jesse, she's paying you like $300,000. She's paying off your loan and she's not even contesting it because she wants you out of your hair. You don't get to complain anymore. Okay. You have to give this up right now.
Yeah, and Michelle and Jesse have this thing with each other where it's like, you can't introduce this person to our daughter, and you can't introduce this person to our daughter. And you, it's a fight they've been having for a long time on this show, but you've both done it so many times that neither one of you really has a leg to stand on at this point, okay?
Yeah.
So just really stop, Jesse, for Christ's sake. So she's like, Jesse, we are good. I do not want to fight with you. And he's like, I will not have another man introduced to my Isabella.
She's like, oh my God, don't do this. We are good. Why are you doing this? You're introducing another man to Isabella. You need to use it. You're not using your head. She's like, you're not using your brain. I mean, this is what I mean. When we are doing so well, he has to ruin it. He has to make other people think I'm a horrible mother. But the reality is I was showing houses and she met him. And I get it, Jesse. You haven't sold many houses lately and I need to sell houses. So I bring my daughter and I get it.
He's like, yeah, well, you got mad at me and my girlfriend, but we're still together 2 years later. But yeah, you moved our daughter into a guy's house who then left you. And now you're introducing Isabella to another guy. Oh, God. For Christ's sake, you're bringing up Aaron again.
I just can't wait to see what he has to say about Dr. Dre. I can't wait to see how this all plays out next season with Dr. Dre. I am so curious to see where this is going to go or if even Dr. Dre will show up on the show.
Yeah, and I like that he had kind of a moral upper hand when he said, I've heard you're secretly dating a comedian. Because normally, everybody would be like, oh, no, comedian, no. But it's a super famous comedian, so it's okay, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... It will be interesting because, you know, we've talked about it here. Dr. Dre has a bad track record with how he treats women in his life.
Oh, and yeah.
It'll be interesting if this actually becomes a storyline next season on The Valley. It could be, which would be the most surreal thing ever. the fact that Dr. Dre is even attached to the show, I still can't really wrap my head around that. But, Jasmine's now like, what the fuck just happened, Jesse? And Jesse's like, she's been secretly dating a comedian. She's been dating him for 3 months. She goes, well, what? She doesn't even laugh. How does she date a comedian? This actually might be good for her. Michelle's like, I can laugh.
Yeah, she doesn't even laugh. And I thought, does Michelle have a laugh?
No.
I don't remember Michelle Zuckerman. She does that.
Hold on. I've downloaded the laugh algorithm. That was funny.
But she also makes that look whenever somebody eats fast food in front of her. So I don't know. Is it a laugh? I don't know.
She also makes the sound when she cries.
By the way, Dr. Dre abuse. This is crazy. So attacked a journalist at a 1991 release party, slamming her head and body against a wall. His former romantic partner, Michelle, who detailed multiple instances of physical abuse and violence. Nicole Young, his ex-wife, who alleged during their 2021 divorce proceedings that he held a gun to her head and physically abused her. Jesus.
Yeah. God. It's very scary, honestly, for Michelle, because we don't. I love the idea of Michelle moving on to a superstar after Jesse, but I don't. I'm scared. It's scary that she might be potentially, you know, putting herself into a bad situation.
I think everybody putting that to the side just because we live in celebrity culture is crazy. Because if this was any non-famous person, this wouldn't even be a conversation. But it's like a rich, famous person, so it's like, well, you know.
I think it just shows how much we dislike Jesse Lally. I think we're just happy for Michelle to just be attached to extreme fame and wealth just to make Jesse feel crazy. I'm being facetious, obviously. No one wants anyone to be in a situation with someone who might harm her. But I think in terms of why people look the other way, it's because we just want Michelle to not be stuck with a penniless bum who is driving her nuts.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to either or that one, because that's a horrible choice. But yeah, she is. This will come up next season for sure. If he's this mad about a comedian, you know, yeah, that'll be a something next year. So
this show's getting a little dark. So why don't we bring some joy in by saying happy birthday to Delta Burke? It's Delta Burke's birthday today, everyone.
Happy birthday, Delta. I will select anything.
Delta Burke. And you know what? 2 days ago was Sally Struthers. So, like, here we are talking about all these scary... And it's Lisa Kudrow's birthday today also. Ugh, there's just so much joy to be had in
Lisa
this world.
Lisa Kudrow and Delta Burke have the same birthday? That's insane.
And Vivica A. Fox. Today is like gay pride. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Anita Hill. It's everyone you could ever dream of.
Wow, that's quite a day.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Jasmine now comes in. I think everybody here, Jesse, Jasmine, I think there's been a lot of the snow going around, and I'm not even a judger of this, but I'm noticing some of these fights are too emotional and are coming out of nowhere. Jesse, yeah. Jasmine's next up. So Jasmine comes over and she's like, what just happened? And he's like, she's been secretly dating a guy for 3 months. Maximini, a favorite, famous comedian. She's like, a comedian? Oh, you already said this part. I'm so sorry. So Jesse's like, yeah. And the problem is I've been told by Isabella that she's met this guy and that's not cool. And I watched my daughter fucking cry about Aaron, cry about him. And I'm telling you, if another guy comes into my life, there's going to be big fucking problems. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's like, again, this is where I was like, let's watch Jesse try to go up against Dr. Dre and see how that works out. So then Nia and Danny are standing in the kitchen, and Nia's like, are you drunk, Daniel? He's like, I'm not drunk, unless you count being drunk on people's blood is drunk. You know, this is the last day I'm going to freaking not drink and like eat everything. So he does the Kyle Cook thing where he literally just starts eating every single pastry in the kitchen.
And he is wasted, wasted. Yep. Idiot. A whole season where you're crying that you can't drink and you're wasted again. How many times, Danny? What is this, like the fifth or sixth time he's like publicly intoxicated and is gonna go yell at women?
Yeah, seriously. So
great job.
Right. He's going to get drunk enough that he's going to have to lie down in the middle of this party to pass out. Like, what? So then Jason has a moment where he goes up to someone he thinks is Janet, and he's like, hey. And then she's like, hello. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I did not think it was, I thought you were my wife. Oops, I'm so sorry. And they're like, okay. And then Janet and Michelle are talking on the side, and Jasmine joins them. And Janet's basically saying, like, you know, he's a little bitch. And Jasmine's like, well, what's happening? You had a boyfriend this whole time? And Janet goes, no, she doesn't.
Don't get mad at me. I'm just repeating. I'm repeating what I heard, baby girl. Okay, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you. Like, he feels that Isabella has been talking to Aaron and has feelings. Like, he's like, okay, well, my daughter is like still connected to Aaron. Like, oh, why are you bringing in someone else? Like, oh, what's going on? Whoa.
Michelle's like,
I like Jasmine, like, but what?
Jasmine was just drunk and she was just starting shit. And so Michelle's like, she's like, well, you know how it is. As a real estate agent, sometimes you have to bring your baby along, and that's what I did. And Janet's like, so you, Jasmine, you're just hearing Jesse's side, but it's like not that. It's like, I'm saying it's like more than that. And Jasmine goes, it's not so much that I'm just hearing his side. I heard him out because he was crying to me and he was very emotional about it. I'm like, what else is new? Jesse will always cry and pull people's heartstrings if he knows he can get some sort of one up on Michelle. Cause like all of a sudden he decided to go after Michelle again after their whole stupid scene last week of like, just remember that Isabella was born out of love.
Yeah. It's bad enough that Jesse's coming at Michelle about this at a party drunkenly, but then to like have one of his friends come up and also do it, it's like, you guys just, this is not the right. This is just stupid. So Michelle's friend Natalie comes over now and she's like, pink or red, who can say? And Janet's like, okay, so this guy asked her on a date and she hasn't even gone on a first date yet, so I don't know what the problem is. And Janet's like, that's not what matters. You know what? He has feelings, and his feelings are valid, you guys.
His feelings are valid. You know, that's Jesse's feelings are valid. So
not everybody's feelings are valid all the time. And I'm sick of everybody saying that. Like, you have feelings, so they're valid. No, sometimes your feelings are stupid and wrong, and someone needs to tell you.
Yeah. So Natalie's like, well, he's painting her to be a bad mother. And Jasmine says, he's not painting her to be nothing, baby. And she's like, yes, he is. She's like, first of all, calm down. Why are you so loud right now? And Michelle's like, no, she just has my back. She's like, okay, well, guess what? I have Jesse's back right now because he feels a type of way. She's like, okay, but I'm telling you what's happening. She's like, and I heard that. And so Natalie's like, that's his reality. Jasmine's like, well, you know what? You need to calm down and be quiet for a second. She's like, don't tell me what to do. I don't even know who you are, bitch.
It's like, oh, now you're going to call me names at my wedding? You're going to call me bitch at my wedding? And Jasmine's like, yes, because you're being loud and I'm trying to talk to her. And Michelle's like, wait a minute, this is my best friend. Please do not talk to her like that. And Natalie's like, bitch. Okay, Natalie, well, you're not helping. Okay.
So why is she so fucking loud? She's like, call me a bitch or what? For what? What am I doing? She's like, I'm sorry. I'm from New Jersey. I call everyone a bitch. So I'm so fucking sorry. You call me a bitch.
And she goes, okay, do you get it, bitch? What's the problem then? And Natalie's like, that is trash. This is trash. And Jasmine's like, I don't care. You're from Chicago. You're trash too, bitch.
Michelle's like, she's not trash, Jasmine. You don't even know her. She's like, but she just called me trash. She's like, you called me a bitch. She's like, but you called her a bitch, Jasmine. She's like, but she called me trash, Michelle. They're just having a drunk fight and calling each other
bitch and trash. Jasmine, she's not coming out on top on this one for sure. And Jasmine's like, I'm sorry too, Chicago. Bye, bitch.
Oh no.
So then Nia and Zach chat in the kitchen, and Nia's like, well, I've had some conversations. You know, I heard that Kristen said that you're flip-floppy with the whole Janet thing, but that I'm manipulating you. And we see Lala telling her this at lunch, and she's like, oh, I don't manipulate you.
He goes, actually, I'm so glad you're saying this and forcing me to say something about it, which is not manipulation.
Yeah. Oh. And Lala, meanwhile, we see a flashback of all that. And then, Nia's like, I'm sorry. Nia's like, yeah, I'm like, can you believe that they're saying I have manipulated you? And she's like, you're the most opinionated person ever. And I feel like I would never manipulate you. Now, would you please say you're right? You would never manipulate me.
You're so right. You would never manipulate me. Wow. That like went out really well.
If anybody manipulates anybody, I feel like I manipulate you. What? What kind of argument is that?
You don't manipulate anything.
I manipulate nothing.
And you're really happy about it, and you hate Janet.
And I do hate Janet. You're giving me so much clarity right now.
So now Kristen and Lacey come over, and Nia's like, well, I already told Kristen that Lala said I'm a manipulator. And Kristen's like, Like, I said, were you guys not on the train? Like, did everyone see what was happening on the train? Like, Nia was on the train leaning over and going like, oh, what is that, your best friend? Like, she was joking. That's all I was saying. Oh. That's not what you said, lying liar pants. You know that was on camera, right?
Yeah, that's like it was not just like a hee hee ha ha moment. It was a smiley, what the fuck are you doing? That's what that was. And Zach's like, whatever. So then Brittany hears them. She's like, hi, I would like to be part of this, please. Okay, well, I just heard. I wasn't saying that you manipulate Zach. It was that you were the one that makes Zach feel bad for being friends with Janet. And Kristen's like, no, I said she doesn't make him feel bad. Remember, when I said that she gives him guilt trips, it means that she makes him feel great about being friends with Janet. What don't you understand about that?
And Brittany, who's just come over and changed it to make Kristen sound better, because Kristen did say Nia manipulates Zach. So Brittany comes over and tries to make what Kristen said more palatable to kind of help Kristen. And Kristen's like, that's not what I said. And Brittany's like, what? Whoa, Kristen. So then we say Kristen doing this, like saying, I do not lay guilt trips on Zach ever. Nia does. I do not. So then Brittany's like, you literally said it. Nope. And Kristen has that psycho smile, by the way, where she's like, mm-mm. She goes, you said it was me. And it's like, mm-mm. No, I didn't, Kaka. And Zach's like, Brittany, I believe Kristen. And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I've been friends with Zach for 2 years. I believe that they believe that Kristen more than me. Really?
They keep pushing this whole thing. Like it feels like the past few episodes, Brittany keeps on doing the same monologue. I've known Zach for 18 years. It goes deeper than that. We're from Kentucky together. Okay. He brings the cheese to my house and I bring the bear. We make magic together in the bowl. And this is deeper. Now he doesn't believe me. It's been like 5 episodes in a row, but like it hasn't really led to a rift just yet. Maybe at the reunion it will, but they're definitely sowing seeds of something going on between the two of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they've kind of done that since the first season. Every time Brittany has a problem, she's like, I'm no life for 18 years. I can't believe he would do this to me. It's like the undying loyalty that Brittany wants but won't give somebody in return, you know? Because anytime Zach's had a problem with Janet, who's the one she's always sticking up for, she always sticks up for Janet. Now, granted, a lot of times she's been on the right side. But not always, you know, and even when Janet was like, oh, Zach can't come to this thing because I'm terrified for my baby. Brittany still sticks up for Janet. So
for Janet.
Anyway, yep. But in this one, Kristen is just lying her ass off and Zach's got it wrong. So now Lala joins. So now almost everybody's there. And Brittany's like, okay, let's clear this up. We were all in my photo shoot, right? Did I look good? I just feel so good because I've been wanting to do that for so long. It's been so hard on me, but now I just feel like really good and I'm finally glad I did that photo shoot. Why am I mad right now? Why am I crying? Somebody remind me.
Lala's like, you did say that, like, Chris, that Nia guilt trips Zach. Because, like, you guys, she said it. What are you talking about? She's like, no. She's like, I have never in my life said that Nia guilt trips Zach. Cut to a flashback of Nia guilt trips Zach.
And then cut to Kristen telling us, what the fuck, Brittany? Like, besties ride or die. Okay, I did say Nia manipulates Zach. Okay, I said it. But, like, did I mean Nia's playing like a puppeteer? Like, no. I mean, Nia's literally, like, going, how's Janet? Like, it's funny. No, that's not what you said. You're a damn liar.
This is not a good offense. So now Jesse and Danny sit, go chat on the side, and Danny's like, Lala is dumb, and Brittany is dumb and dumber. See what I'm saying? So it's like, so there's three dumb, who's, so there's a dumb and a dumb and dumber. Okay. So you realize that what you've set out is dumb, dumb, dumb and dumber, which is not the, okay. So then Jesse's just like, drink some water. You're on camera. Get some water.
Yeah. So back to them, Lala's like, well, am I being gaslit or do you genuinely not remember? I gotta get out. I gotta get out. So she's saying the only reason Kristen's gonna lie about this is because Nia's standing right here, you know, and the ringleader it is. It's Nia. I knew it was Nia. Nia's running the show.
I don't think that Nia's like running the show. No, I just think that like Kristen aspires to be like Nia. And so like Nia is like unwittingly maybe influencing that side the most, but I don't think she's like some sort of, you know, villain twisting a mustache or something like that. I think she's just trying to like hold on to her fantasy, and she's trying to keep her awful man-child husband in line. And she's also just like, I don't know. I think her house of cards is really shaking right now, and I think she's just focused on that. But then Kristen doesn't see it, and she's just like, Nia's the best. I want to be absolutely like Nia with everything I do. So
yeah, I don't think Nia's manipulating either. I don't think she cares enough. Zach and Kristen have hated Janet for a long time. They don't need to be manipulated. They have somebody on their team. I think they are kind of a team, just the same way that Janet and Michelle and Lala are all a team and team up on people all night long on this show. So they're just teams. And then they got Kristen. One team got Kristen alone and started pressuring her. And then Kristen broke and immediately betrayed all of her team. That's why you don't be, no matter who you like the best, the team you want to be on is Janet, Michelle, and Lala, because they're all staying true to each other, while this other side will start eating each other the second they get a chance.
You know? Yeah. I do think, like, just on the point of, like, Nia doesn't manipulate. I mean, that moment on the train when Nia and Kristen were like, why are you talking to Janet? Like, that did definitely happen. You know, I guess it could be viewed as a manipulation. I saw that more as just, like, you're on our team. I thought you were on our team. Where's your loyalty? I think they were putting pressure on him. I didn't see that as like capital M manipulation, although I understand people would see it that way. So she's not like without flaw. You know, she's not some innocent, just like trying to keep it all together, just a harried mom. She is definitely like, she's got some clickiness to her for sure.
Clicky, yeah, yes. I think that's what they were doing. They were saying like, Janet's all of a sudden going to come and like, pretend she's best friends with you, and now you're gonna like reciprocate and act like you're besties with Janet. What the fuck is that? We were all just talking shit about her right before this train ride, and now all of a sudden, you know, clicky. Clicky.
So Danny is but Danny is drunk. Jesse is babysitting him. Danny is like literally stumbling. He's like stumbling on the terrain, and Jesse is steadying him. And then Tom's asking if the bartenders can get Venmo tip. Tom's doing nothing.
He's like, I don't have cash. You guys take Venmo. Oh, really? You didn't know there was going to be a bartender here? Shocker, Schwartz, the guy who owned a bar.
That's right.
Can't tip them. People shocked. Also, is this the part where Danny is standing kind of by a bush and then he's kind of blocking the girls who are at the bar, and then they turn around and start walking towards him, and she just stops and looks him up and down like, yes. And he's like,
I fully missed that little scene. I must have looked down or something.
You did. It was like, so funny. This really gorgeous girl just turns around, and he's just standing right there, and she just gives him an up and down like, yes, and then walks past him. He's like,
I would have loved that.
So he goes to pass out in the little cabana.
Doesn't have a problem with drinking. Honestly, I wouldn't even have a problem with anyone needing to lie down at a party. I really don't. But I think in the context of Danny being so full of it and announcing that he is not drinking at all, and yet he also has to pass out in the middle of the party, but he's not drinking at all.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thank you.
Loser. So Jason sees some mess and comes right in and gets on the couch opposite him. And he's like, wow. Yeah, look at us. Haven't talked in a while, huh, Danny? He's like, yeah. You know, obviously, I heard about your injury. And no matter our history, whatever, you know, I never wish that upon you or anybody else.
He's like, I appreciate that, man. And I've heard you had a little tough go. I mean, are you and Lala okay? You guys talked?
He's like, Lala.
He's like, yeah, I mean, didn't you say some pretty mean shit to her in Mexico? He's like, what? And then Jason's like, well, I heard what you said to her was, no wonder you don't have a husband.
No, I never said that.
No, what are you talking about? It's like, and something along the lines of, go back to your miserable life.
What? What? That's crazy. What? I never said any of those things. That's
here's crazy. A Danny quote that you, here's a Danny Bucolo quote that you can pass on to people. I am a good person.
Good people don't say things like that.
So then Danny is like, I never said that. And then Lala she just knows. She just suddenly appears. She's like, can we sit down and talk? So Lala and Janet now join.
This is why Danny's just such an idiot. You go lie down. Jason comes in, immediately starts baiting you. Immediately, like, you don't see what he's doing. And then Janet and Lala both come in. They all see you without Nia there to protect you. And they all surround you, like, they all come in.
It's great.
It's obvious. But Danny, you're so fucking stupid that you are this easily tricked. I mean, what an idiot this guy is. God, it's painful.
Yeah, I know. And Jason's like, I just want to clarify everything that happened in Mexico. And Danny's like,
well, she said, if this is marriage, then I want nothing to do with it. And I said, well, go back to your husband. I never said you don't have a husband. I said, go back to your husband. And then in the negative space of that line, the implication is she doesn't have a husband to go back to. So I never actually said it. I just implied it. Jesus, I'm a good person.
Well, can you understand how that would be hurtful to Lala? And maybe you would like to apologize to her?
Yeah, okay. And Danny's like,
I can never listen and talk to you when you have never apologized about anything you've ever done in your life.
It's like, what would you like me to apologize for? Are you kidding me? For the words that you said about me, a good person.
You think the words I said about you were untrue?
100%.
So you've made no life changes. It's going to happen again. Why would it not? I'm sorry, Jason said that, but he was doing an impersonation of Janet in my version. And then Janet's like, yeah, I think that like what you did to women. And he's like, you weren't even there. She's like, I don't have to be there.
Yeah. And Danny, you admitted to, like, everybody knows this is on the record. Stupid.
You weren't even there.
And Jason, what, Jason's never blacked out? She's like, oh, he's blacked out, but he's never grabbed women's asses. And that's the difference. That is the which is a pretty big difference, by the way. And Danny goes, yes. Well, he doesn't know if he's been blacked out. How would he know if he grabbed any asses?
Yeah, nailed it. Good person. Judge Bucolo. Get out of my courtroom, both of you.
Janet goes, you are a 5'7". He goes, no, don't insult him. Don't insult him. She goes, oh, yeah, I love this. I love this. She's like, I'm sure you do. So Janet says, if Jason found out that he was blacked out and put his hands on somebody, he would never drink again, ever. He told me this. He said, if I woke up and found out that I did what Danny did, I would be devastated. So Jason is like, okay, well, I guess I'm just trying to follow your logic, but if I'm not really able to right now.
Well, if you want to have a conversation with me, man to man, then we can have that conversation, but not with Dumb and Dumber and Dumber Dumber over here.
Not with Dumb and Dumberist. I ain't going to do that.
He's like, well, why aren't we having a conversation right now? And Lala's like, oh my God, he can't even form a sentence. Like, just Janet, just let it go. He's not your problem. You know, I was under the impression, okay, Janet's done. Now it's my fight. Okay, I heard through the grapevines that you had an apology for me. So he's like, apology for what?
Wait, who said that? Oh, because... maybe Nia implied it at like La Rochelle. And he's like, what? She's like, okay, well, that's fine. And Jason goes, yeah, it's about what we just talked about. And Lala says, yeah, it's about what you said in Mexico. He's like, yeah, well, I do apologize for saying you should go back to your husband.
What I really meant to say was you should go back to your husband and give him the checks that he deserves because he's a man.
What I meant to say was, wouldn't it be easier for you to talk if you had a penis standing by your side? But you don't, loser. You don't. Only penises by your side make you valid.
And Janet's like, so that's it?
And he's like, excuse me, am I talking to you? Am I talking to you?
And he starts like pointing his finger and like, they're over the table, but he like gets kind of finger in her facey. Oh God, this guy.
Yeah. And Jason, he's like, he puts out his finger and he's like, put your finger away, dude. And Danny's like, am I talking to you right now? And Jason's like, Danny, put your finger away. And Danny's like, what are you going to do with your bum leg? He's like, I'll still beat your ass.
With your bum leg. Janet's like, oh, but also starts laughing because she's like, wow, this guy is really gone. And so then Janet gets up and does her reality TV moment. She's like, oh yeah, splash. And she throws her drink and then her cup at Danny's head. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. It was out of nowhere, especially because the way they edited it was they just kept it tight on Danny. So like Janet did not do it like immediately. There was like a little bit of a delay where she was like, I wonder if I should throw a drink. I think I should throw a drink. I think this would be a funny moment if I threw a drink. I think I'm going to do the drink. 3, 2, 1. No. Am I going to do it on one or am I going to do it after one? 3, 2. Okay, now I'm going to throw the drink. It's like, like 30 seconds have passed and all of a sudden this little cup comes like flying at Danny.
Yeah, the ever natural Janet.
But it was
This show is so weak that you're still cheering for Janet. I mean, I was. Yeah. I was like, yes.
I love that.
I mean, aim better. Because she missed and she just got the couch. And Brittany's going to be like, oh, wait a minute, I've cleaned this couch. No, you know, this I've been through so much in the past 18 years.
Well, she may have missed with some of the liquid, but the little she plastic got the cocktail cup, like it bounced off his head in this like really kind of like cartoony way. I was like, boing.
It would have been perfect if it just landed right on top and fit him like a little hat, like a little baby.
Like a little fez.
Yeah. So she does her drink toss and is like, yeah, nailed it. See you for another season, everybody.
He goes, all right, peace out. She goes, bye. Adios. She's like, tiny fool. And Lala's like, I don't love that you just did that. She's like, I don't care. So Lala is like, she tells us, you know, throwing a plastic cup at somebody, look at this guy. He's fucking incoherent. He's like handing you who he is on a silver platter. And you just like that, like you overshadowed his horrendous behaviors. She's kind of right, because now like the debate is whether or not Janet should have thrown a cup of whatever it was, vodka or something. Should she have thrown it? Should she not? And it's not about how terrible Danny is.
Right. Now Janet's given people reason to be like, well, that's assault. And if I, you know, if it were Janet who got a drink on, she would be calling the police and saying it's assault, you know. So now that's the argument.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, Danny's really done himself in so much this season that I feel like most of the comments are still like, yes.
Yeah. I think we're all pretty happy.
Get him.
So Danny now like walks over to Zach and he's like, they just threw drinks in my face. And Zach said, no, they didn't. And he's like, oh my God, you're covered. Who did this? Who did this? Who did this to my child? Daniel, can you look at your wife? Daniel, can you look at me right now?
Look at me. He's breathing. Doctor, it's beeping faster. Come can back you look to at your wife. Daniel.
Can you not look at them, Daniel?
So Nia's like, Daniel is covered in alcohol because Kristen threw a drink at him. And Jasmine's like, oh, no, she did not. No, she didn't. And Kristen's getting all riled up. She's like, Janet threw a drink all over Danny. Oh, I am done with us. So now Kristen walks up to Janet and she's like, you should go.
She goes, what? She goes, do you want me to grab Brittany? Kristen's like, to be honest, I would love to throw Janet in the pool, but I'm not going to give her that satisfaction. And I'm a mom now. I have to mind my business. She just used the mom card on herself.
So Janet's like, okay, well then go and tell Brittany that she should make me leave then, Kristen. Let's see how that turns out. And Lala's like, it's not okay that she did what she did, but what's done is done. What's did is did. Okay? And she knows she shouldn't have done it. So it's over now.
What's dumbest dumber? Hey-o, let's go, puns. Neo's like, we need to leave. Like, why would we be around terrible humans? My heart is beating through my chest right now, Daniel. He's like, me too.
Me too. I'm going to tell everybody here, good boo-calo.
Daniel, I don't know how you're calm right now. Like, what did you do to get yourself into an altered state that you could be so chill?
Well, it wasn't drinking. I'm very sober. That's why I am relaxed right now.
I'm so glad that I haven't had a drink tonight, because who knows how I'd be acting if I even had a drink. But, you know, I'm not going to freak out on them. They're the dumbs and the dumbstedest.
Hey, before we leave, let me just go to Brittany's drink. GM, I think there's something I left in there a few months ago I need to retrieve. I already got it out of there, Danny. Oh, damn it. So Nia's like,
please don't call names. Please, Danny. I don't like name calling. It's like, oh, yeah, well, how about dumb and dumb did it? Because that's what they're the past tense of dumbest did it. Daniel, no. Please, Daniel, the language.
Oh, we're never going to be friends with those people ever again. And then meanwhile, Tom's like, hey, everyone, it's Michelle's birthday. Oh, my God, happy birthday to Michelle. And Nia's like, no, we're not welcome here. Half of the people I don't even want to be around. I would prefer to go home, Daniel. He's like, yes, we're going home. We're going home. We'll just take, here, I'll transform into a bat because I'm Count Bukula.
Okay, Daniel, well, how's this for an idea? I'll get the baby and then we'll go home. Yeah, that
we kind of assumed you were going to get the baby, Nia. That was kind of implied. You showed up with the baby, so we're all guessing that you're going to get that baby first. But yeah. I think she's kind of trying to make it like, Daniel, are you going to be able to stand up while I go get the child?
He's like, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-
amazing. Our child is here.
Daniel, can you look at me? Can you look at me? We're going back to Santa Clarita. Can you look at me?
So Zach is like, I don't know where we go. Like, I just know Janet has, like, got to get over herself. Like, she's just, like, such a disingenuous human. Like, let's put it this way. If Janet wasn't here, this would be an entirely different dynamic. And Janet's like, well, Jason and I are already where we need to be with this group. We have great friends. I could see being cordial with Kristen and Zach eventually if they stop drinking the Kool-Aid. And the people that we're not friends with, I'm good with that. Like, I'm friends with most people. There are just a few that I don't want anything to do with.
Yeah, so they're really split down the middle. I mean, and Danny, of course, is like,
hey, I don't want anyone to forget. I'm genuinely a really good, good guy. And this isn't just me saying this. This is from many people of wisdom. Preachers, other preachers, basically anyone I give 10% to. Just read my Google reviews. They all say Danny Bucco. Good person. And then I say, thanks for the review, toots.
I don't want to be around anyone that's going to bring out something worse than me.
Well, why do you have that worst in you in the first place? You can't blame other people for your own behavior, sir.
Then you should probably stop hanging out with Belvedere, sir. Mr. Belvedere, because he seems to be doing a magic number on your bloodstream, you fucking idiot. You do this to yourself.
Streaks on the china, they did matter before. That's what we've learned.
So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to bring back everybody? I mean, this show does really well in the ratings, but
yeah,
when they're so Danny split is- on Housewives, if they're this split, it's like, you are on pause. We can no longer condone this splittedness. Either you all make up or that's it. So what do you think?
I mean, they're split, but they're not like, they're not like as like dramatically split as some other shows where it's like, oh, there's a real problem here. But I do think that like Danny and Nia, I don't know if they'll come back. I think that
yeah, I think
Nia's going to do whatever Danny does. I think Danny does love the fame, but he probably
like hates the way he feels like he's being portrayed, and he feels like it's probably cancel culture, and it's just like the woke left, and it's people who are like snowflakes and people who feel triggered. He's going to use all those buzzwords and be like, I don't want to be around all that. So I think that this is going to be the end for them.
Yeah, I think it's the end for them too. And Danny's, you know, he loved it. He loved the fame while he was more popular and people were anti-Janet. But now that it's turned and we've seen what a shithead Danny is, I think he's not going to be able to take it.
He won't be able to, because I think he has created a persona in his mind of himself that he's like the good fun times Danny. He's like the life of the party. He's the kid actor who just is like wild and crazy. He gets in these characters and everyone laughs. And this is like, I think it shakes his own sense of self a bit too much, or it rattles the image that he's constructed of himself. And it's too hard to dismantle that for him. And so he probably will just pivot to a different arena where he can sort of like be this way, like maybe host like a travel show for like Great American Country or something. Like, this is just like, I think this is it, you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking so too. Do you think they're going to bring back Sheena and Brock?
Maybe, but I think we need a new couple in there.
Yeah, that's what I say too.
We need fresh blood. You need fresh blood. I think Sheena and Brock would be great on the show personally. I know people are like, no more Sheena and Brock. I think, why not? I think she is a seasoned reality pro. She does what she does very well. Brock is like, whatever. But let's have no Schwartz. Lala did great. Lala surpassed everyone's expectations, and she really brought it, and she did a wonderful job. I think we just need some, bring in some new couples to sort of.
I don't know. I don't need Lala back. I don't need Lala back either. I mean, Lala just comes in and kind of does, it's like, okay, what's on the agenda today? Okay, I'm going to fight for Janet again. Okay, I'm going to fight for so-and-so. I mean, I don't know. She doesn't really have anything going on. I would say not really Lala. I'd say get rid of Lala and Tom, bring in a new couple.
Definitely Tom.
And let's see.
To go. Tom has to go. Like, that was a real big mistake. I don't see any way that they keep Tom for another season. Like, he was friend of energy and he got main cast billing, and that's just a waste of Bravo's money.
Well, I don't know that they spend that much on the show, but
that's true too.
True. And their ratings are pretty huge, so they might not make any changes at all. Who knows?
Well, let's see who
comes
back.
Guess we'll find out. Because we've got a lot of reunion coming up. Do you know if this one gets a two-part or a three-part? Did they say?
Three-parter. Three-parter.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, here we go. Get ready to relitigate.
Can't wait. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We'll catch you on the next episode. Bye.
And bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels!
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.